Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word is the book of Romans, chapter 9, beginning at the first verse, our epistle lesson. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, in his play, Henry V, Shakespeare recounts how the English king, King Henry, took his small army over to France to win back territories that belonged to him. And they engaged the French army in battle, because the French weren't going to put up with that. And the French army was vastly outnumbering Henry's army. Henry's army was sick, they were tired, they only wanted to go home. And the French came upon them, ready for battle. But the English won the battle. As a matter of fact, 10,000 French soldiers were lost. And when King Henry asked for how many soldiers his army had lost, he was given a piece of paper. He said, "Where is the number of our English dead?" And he read off of the paper, "Edward the Duke of York, the Earl of Suffolk, Sir Richard Kelty, Davy Gam Esquire, none else of name, and of all other men, but 25." 10,000 lost on one side, less than 30 lost on the other. He said, "O God, thy arm was here, and not to us, but to thy arm alone ascribe we all. When, without stratagem, but in plain shock and even play of battle, was ever known so great and so little loss on one part and on the other? Take it, God, for it is none but thine. Come, go we in procession to the village, and be it death, proclaim it throughout our hosts to boast of this, or to take that praise from God, which is his only, with this acknowledgement that God fought for us. Do we all holy rites, and let there be sung Non Nobis and Te Deum." Why? Why did it turn out like this? So few lost on one side, so many lost on another. We Christians have a similar question we ask. We ask sometimes when we think about friends or family members, or just in a general way, we ask, why some and not others? Why some believe and others do not? I remember a fellow pastor, Lutheran pastor, down in Arizona telling me about his church. They were starting a little mission congregation, and they were calling people up out of the phone book to invite them to church. That tells you how long ago it was, right? A phone book. Anyway, this is long years ago, but he said as we went through the phone book, a number of us had phones there, that, you know, landlines, of course, that we were calling people up with. And he said we would come in the phone book across a German name, and our eyes would light up, and we would say what? Well, Lutherans are German. We'd run across a Scandinavian name, and we'd light up, and we said, Lutherans are Scandinavians. And then we ran across a name that was Muhammad. And what are we going to do with Muhammad? Well, for consistency's sake, why don't we call up Muhammad too, as well as everybody else? And they called Muhammad up, and something happened. Something happened that didn't happen when they called up the Schultzes and the Schmidts, when they called up the Svensons and the Bergstroms. Something that didn't happen with them. Those folks had other commitments on Sunday morning. But Muhammad said, okay, I'll come to church. And he came to church. He eventually joined the congregation. And when I spoke with the pastor sometime after that, he said he was an elder in the congregation. Why some and not others? Some of the very nicest people you can get on board for all sorts of good causes, but very nicely, of course, they want nothing to do with Jesus. Then again, some of the most unlikely people with the least auspicious backgrounds, with the least auspicious start in life or maybe character or personality, they come to believe and get saved. Again, some of the people who have all of the advantages, repeated contact with the church, raised in a Christian home, raised to know the Lord Jesus, taught Bible stories as a child, taught the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments, brought to Sunday school, and they end up without any meaningful relationship with the kingdom of God. Or they begin with zeal for Jesus and his kingdom, but as the years go by, they sort of fall away or drift away or turn away. The Bible is full of examples like that. Cautionary tales for all of us. Why some and not others? St. Paul says the same thing in today's second lesson. He says it with anguish of heart because he's speaking about his own family and his own people. He says, they're the Israelites, and theirs is the adoption of sons, and theirs is the glory, and theirs is the covenants, and theirs is the giving of the law, and theirs is the worship, and theirs is the promises, and theirs are the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from them, according to his human nature, is the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, our Savior. And yet with all of that, with all of those advantages, with all of those head starts that they have ahead of everybody else, the vast majority don't believe. And Paul says it causes me anguish of heart. And the natural question is, why some and not others? Why some and not others? Well, maybe the Word of God and maybe holy baptism didn't take. So we got to do it again. We got to do it a second time. And yet today's lesson says it's not as if the Word of God had no effect. Well, maybe God thinks more highly of certain people groups or certain social classes. And yet the lesson says it's not the children of the flesh who are the children of God. Well, maybe God chooses according to the quality of the person. I don't know how you're going to measure that, but according to the quality of the person. And yet it says it's not from works. Well, maybe God chooses according to the dedication of the person. And yet it says it's not the one willing or the one striving. Maybe, dare we say it, there's unrighteousness or unfairness with God. Our lesson says, no, is there unrighteousness with God? Let it not be. How could he who sacrificed his own son be accused of unrighteousness or lovelessness for people? All right then. We give up. Why some and not others? And I'm here today to tell you that I'm not going to tell you. Pastor or no, I'm not going to tell you the answer to that question. I'm not going to tell it to you. Because did you ever think that maybe it's the wrong question? Did you ever think the question, why some and not others, is just a philosophical question? It's a question of curiosity. And even if you get the answer, because you're not going to get the answer, but even if you did, at the end of the day, what you have in your pocket is a nice, interesting bit of information that answered a few questions for me. But it doesn't have anything to do with faith, anything to do with trust in the Lord. And not only that, I'm not going to tell you today because there is no answer to the question. There is no answer to the question. God has not revealed the answer to the question. It's up there in the mystery of his eternal counsel and purpose. And what God has not revealed, don't waste your time trying to delve into it. As a matter of fact, the Lord has forbidden it. Old Testament book, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Easy to remember. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord. They're his. They belong to him. Get out of there. Get your hands off. Don't mind his business. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us, to you and to me. Why some and not others? It's a philosophical question. And the Bible has no time for philosophical questions. Waste of time. What you need is a faith question. Not why some and not others, but simply, why me? And even more simply, not why me, just one of the words. Me? Question mark. I'm saved. I have eternal life. Why would this be? Now resist the temptation to look in the mirror, because that's what we want to do. Because if you look in the mirror, it's just going to confuse you even more. Because when you look in the mirror, you're going to say once again, I don't know why God saved me. It wasn't my social class. It wasn't my quality. It wasn't my dedication. It wasn't something in me. All I can say is that it was something in God. Today's lesson, the one showing mercy, the one showing his grace, his gift, and his love. It's the gift of God. Now that is not a hidden thing, it's a revealed thing. And so in other words, if it's revealed, it belongs to you. And if it belongs to you, you take it and you thank God for it. What do you thank God for? You thank him for the cross. You thank him for the wounds of Christ. You thank him for the body and blood of Jesus given in Holy Communion. You thank him for the water of your baptism. You thank him for his holy word that reveals all of these things. That's what you look to. Why some, not others? I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. It's not given to me to know. It's not given to you to know. What is given to you to know is this, the grace of God. Jesus died for me. Jesus was raised for me. Jesus gives me his body and blood. The Holy Spirit came to me in holy baptism, and that's where I got to stop. And I leave it there. But for one more thing. King Henry knew what to do. King Henry said in amazement, I don't know why this happened, but God fought for us. God fought for us. God showed us his grace. And if God fought for you and God showed you his grace, you cling on to that, and not only that, you add something to it. When somebody gives something to you, what do you say? Thank you. Thank you. And so, King Henry had it right. He said, you know what? We're going to have a hymn sing. We're going to sing a couple of hymns. He said, let there be sung Non Nobis, and let there be sung Te Deum. Non Nobis, Domine, Non Nobis, sed Nomine Tuo da Gloria. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. They did it all in Latin back then. But to your name be the glory. And Te Deum, another hymn, Te Deum laudamus, Te Dominum confitemur, Te aeternum patrem omnis terra venerator. You, O Lord, we praise. You, O Lord, we confess. You, the eternal Father, all the earth worships. Let there be sung to the Lord praise and glory. And even better, Book of Romans, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been the Lord's counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.